Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless your name. We honor you. We magnify your name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. You are the reason for our gathering. Thank you for the privilege of life. Thank you for the privilege of intimacy. Thank you for the honor of the commitment of your kingdom to our hands. Thank you for your grace, continually empowering us to advance your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for the reward that you have assigned to every one of us. Lord, we give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give me floating sound. Let me touch a few scriptures. The theme of our conference is Ascend. Too many people are on ground. That's their problem. When you are on ground, even things that should not be battles becomes battles. When I was coming here this evening, getting to the airport was surrounded with a very thick forest. There were hills, there were mountains. We had only one tiny road that led into that place. And if there is a hold up there, you can miss your flight. Because only one tiny road led into that airport. Everywhere was surrounded with forest, surrounded with mountains. And so you couldn't access the airport from any other means. And so sometimes there is a very long hold up and we are all choked and stuck. But you see, the plane does not have hold up. When it takes off, the forest counts for nothing. The mountain counts for nothing. It is those of us who are driving on ground that the forest and the mountain is a challenge. When the plane ascends, it takes any direction. No mountain can stop it. No forest can stop it. Because when you are on ground, your battles are too many. As you ascend in this conference, most of the things you call battles will vanish. There is a level where you need to uproot the mountain. There's another level where the existence of the mountain counts for nothing. If you are driving, you may need to uproot the mountain. You may need to uproot the trees. But when you fly, the mountain can remain there. You go above it. The forest can remain there. You go above it. Somebody will go above in life in this conference. And so this conference is designed to make you go above. To live above and to stay up there. Where you dominate and where you conquer. And so tonight, I will share with you briefly the requirements for the ascended life, and I will also share with you few benefits of the ascended realm. And then tomorrow we will go into deeper matters on how to wield the powers of that realm. But because it's my first session, I will begin by explaining a few things just to give you requirements so you will know. Because nothing in God is luck. Nothing in God happens by chance. Everything in God is deliberate. And if you know how it works, you can replicate it any day, anytime, anywhere. That's the beauty of walking with God. It's not a fluke. It can be repeated. It can be replicated in any location at all. Because the power that sponsors it cannot be defied. And so tonight, my simple assignment is to show you what it takes to live above. And then the blessedness of living above. If I succeed in doing that tonight, we will celebrate God, trust Him for His power, and then we'll come back tomorrow and take it up from there. What does it mean to be ascended? To be ascended simply means to be brought to the place of authority. When we are talking about ascension, the one word that summarizes it is authority. Everything about height has to do with authority. The Bible speaking in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 19 to 20, when He gave us an example of what ascension meant, He said, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power?" And then He went to verse 20. He said that power was demonstrated in Christ when He rose Him from the dead. Because the dead is beneath, is the realm below. So He said that exceeding great power was demonstrated when Christ was raised from the dead, and when He was set at the right hand in heavenly places. And in verse 21, He said, far above principalities and powers. Far above principalities and powers, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. And so when we are talking about ascension, when we are talking about height, we are talking about a dimension of authority that gives you an advantage over every affair of life. It can translate to wisdom. It can translate to speed. It can translate to productivity. But every expression of that operation keeps you in charge and gives you an advantage. And when a man is in charge, he begins to enjoy the fullness of life. In fact, the way this life works is such that you cannot maximize it until you have authority. There are many persons who have dreams that were never fulfilled because they never had authority. Either authority against devils, or financial authority to sponsor it, or authority to be able to communicate it in a way that it will convince humanity. And so every time you see men making progress in life unprecedented, it means there is a dimension of authority that is at work in their lives. And so when we are talking about ascension, we are talking about the culmination of authority that gives you an advantage in your existence. This is why you must have to pay attention. Because if your visions will be fulfilled, then you need height. If your goals will be accomplished, then you need height. If you will impact your generation, then you need height. Because there is nothing you do in this realm without authority being included that it will be impactful. In fact, when Jesus was done with His disciples, He told them, "I know you have been to Bible school with me. You saw me manifest miracles. You saw me manifest wonders." He said, "But tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Luke 24:49. Because if you go out with a good message, you will die. If you go out with a good message, you cannot affect your generation. You need authority conferred upon you. And so there are things you do in this kingdom that brings you into authority. So when we are talking about height, we are not just talking upward movement only. Upward movement is a physical or geographical expression of what height means. But in reality, height is actually a position of advantage. Height is actually a position of authority. Height is actually a position of power. And many of us will need a lot of height to fulfill the magnitude of destiny and vision the Lord has given to us. However, height is not a gift. Height is attained deliberately. Height is attained by putting effort, putting deliberate intention. It is a mileage you cover because you are doing something. And so in Psalm 24 from verse 3, the Bible began to give us, for instance, some of the credentials of men who are able to ascend height. It says, who shall ascend the hills of the Lord? It says, who shall stand in his holy place? It's not a gift. It's open to everybody, but the one who can get there. He said, there are credentials. It says, he that is of a clean heart, him that is of a pure heart, him that have not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So you see that although height is a possibility for everyone, but only those who meet the requirement will ascend. And so the first thing you see from this scripture is that the place of height is called the hills of the Lord. That means that's where the government of God dwells. That's why I told you height is about authority. In fact, if you read this same illustration in Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 22 to 23, you are going to see that it is on Mount Zion that God is introduced as the judge of all. Because when you are dealing with height, you are dealing with authority. And for you to attain height, there are credentials. Now, if you go to verse 25 of this same psalm that we have read, you are going to see that the moment the credentials are met, the next thing is blessings. Psalm 24, verse 25. Look at what the Bible said. The moment you're able to ascend authority, it said the next thing is blessing. Psalm 24, verse 25. I want you to see these scriptures. If you will, write them down. Go home, meditate on it. Because in the next 20 years, if you remain at the bottom, you will suffer. And if you suffer, it will not be anybody's fault. It will be your fault. So I'm telling you two things now. Number one, whether the next 20 years of your life will count or not is your choice to make in this conference. And number two, don't plan to blame anybody. Because if you fail and if you are suffering, you are the one to blame. He said in Psalm 24, verse 5, I beg your pardon. He said, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So in verse 23, it said, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? That means anybody can. In verse 4, it said, him that is of a pure heart, clean hands, pure heart, who has not lifted his soul in vanity or sworn deceitfully, gave you credentials. And in verse 5, it said, he shall receive the blessings of the Lord. So these are three cadres of life that brings fulfillment to existence. And so tonight, one thing we are going to look at, having established that a place of height or a place of ascension is a place of authority, we are going to see the biblical requirements for those who ascend in life. Because not everybody ascends. At the end of your journey, you are going to discover that some persons are left at the foot of the mountain. Ask our fathers today, they will tell you, when they were young, all of them had dreams. Go to primary school and take a sample. Some will tell you they want to be presidents. Some will tell you they want to be governors. Some will tell you they want to be pilots. Some will tell you they want to be wealthy. Every child has a dream. But at the end of the day, when they are 60, 70, 80, you will discover that in a whole generation, you can count them. Sometimes, a handful make it to the top. Because it's not a gift. It's open to everybody, but very few are willing to pay the price. And so I will show you what it takes to ascend tonight. And the choice will now be yours to make. Whether your life will be impactful, whether your life will count or not. And then if your life does not count, also know from this meeting that you are the only person to blame for what your life turns out to be. So, what does it take to ascend? Tomorrow I will show you the dimensions of height in the spirit. There is a height you attain that you have authority in the realm of spirit. That's the dimension of height. And trust me, if you will impact the natural, you would have impacted the spirit. Nobody impacting the natural is a novice in the realm of the spirit. It takes spiritual advantage to dominate the natural realm. And so when we are talking about height, there is a spiritual dimension to height, and there is a natural dimension to height. And in the spiritual dimension, There are two operations of height. One is your ability to come to God's realm. It's your ability to operate from God's realm. It's your ability to stand in God's realm. And that's why Psalm 24, verse 3 that we read, it says, who shall ascend to the hills of the Lord? So he's telling you that one of the places in height is in the realm of God. Who shall stand in his holy mountains? Because those who ascend height, they come to the realm of God. In fact, if you study Psalm 65, I think verse 28, it said, blessed is the man that the Lord causes to approach him. So in height operations, there is a place where you come to the realm of God and you are living from there. So the wisdom you are dispensing is not your wisdom. You are tapping it from God. The courage you have, you are drawing it from God. The resilience you are drawing from God. The inspiration you are drawing because you participate in that realm. You have traveled that far to draw from that realm. And then also talking about spirit realm, in the corridor of height, there is a place you get to where you can command spirits. Because you will discover that apart from drawing from God to dominate your world, there are other spirits that try to negate your vision. The job of those spirits is to make sure you don't succeed. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, he said, I beheld and I saw four horns. And he said, what have those horns come to do? He said, these are the horns that scatter Jerusalem and Judah so that nobody lift up his head. So there are other spirits that are there to clamp people down so that they don't go anywhere. So when a man has height, number one, he's drawing from God's realm. And number two, he has authority to stop the spirits that stop men. He said in John 10:10, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So there are people who are held down. They have the best voices, but they are not known. They have the best inspiration, but they are not doing anything. And they have labored in the flesh. Nothing is happening. When you see a Peterson singing and the whole world is celebrating, it's because of height. He has come to a place where demons can no longer cage his voice. But there are many people who have better voices. Respectfully speaking, he's a very gifted young man. But there are many people who have even better voices that nobody is hearing. Because there are spirits that have incubated, emasculated their voices. So that even when they shout, nobody hears. So when we are talking height, we are talking number one, drawing from the realm of God because you have the right to operate there. And number two, we are talking stopping the other spirits that stop men from rising. That's the spiritual dimension to height. Then when you talk about the dimension of height that has to do with men or the physical, you are talking about a place where you get to and you can impact the lives of people. Because if you are not up, you can't lift men. I did an illustration in church and they were laughing. Let me show you something. Right. Who is a strong man here? Okay, come. You believe you are a strong man, come. Can we look for a smallish person? Let me show you something. I'm talking about physical height. My brother, come. Please come. Let me show you something. With all due respect. But you look big. I needed somebody smaller. That man there, come. That one there, with black. Please come. I want to show you something. I'm trying to bring you to terms with the practicality of what I'm teaching. This is smaller. Thank you so much. Don't be offended. Can both of you sit on the ground? Sir, help me lift this man up. Try your best. No, use two hands. Try all your effort. This is height. He doesn't have height, so he can't. Now, stand up. Lift. No, to you, sit down. Lift him up. The problem was not about ability. It was about height. So, when we talk about height, we are talking about your capacity to impact men. If you are down, no matter how you desire to help widows, you can't. No matter how you desire to help the sick, you can't. No matter how you desire to help the helpless, you can't. So the first is that you must gain height first so that you can pull them up. Are you seeing that? So when we are talking height, we are talking about capacity to impact men. There are men that you meet today, your story will change forever. And it won't cost them much. They can just talk and your life will change. And they can give you from the abundance they have, your life will still change because they have height. So when we are talking about height, we are talking about authority to influence men. And then secondly, when we are talking about height, we are talking about authority to influence systems. Hope you know that there are people in this country who can speak from Abuja and there will be public holiday worry. They don't need to come here. When they talk, systems obey them. So there are two dimensions to height. The first dimension is a spiritual dimension, where number one, you have access to the realm of God. So you spend from God's resources. And number two, you can deal with devils and demons. That's why I said Jesus is seated far above principalities and powers. And in Ephesians 2:6, he said we are seated with him. But there are things we need to do to experience that reality. Are you seeing that? And then in the natural realm, when we talk about height, is the ability to impact the lives of men so that your presence can improve their existence. And number two is your ability to speak and then systems change because you have spoken. This is what height is about, but there are requirements. God bless you. What are the requirements for ascension? What are the requirements for gaining height in the spirit? Because like you saw in this brother, most of you have many gifts, but you don't have height. You see that this brother had strength to lift that guy. But if they sit there for 100 years, he will never lift that young man. Because he doesn't have height. Not because he doesn't have ability. That's why you can see that some of you here can sing, but you are struggling. Some of you are smart, you are struggling. You are gifted, you are struggling. You have an ability that should impact your generation, but you don't have height. And so this conference will come to bring value to your abilities. This conference, can I shock you? Some of you sitting here, you know the Bible more than me. If you carry this microphone and start teaching, I will take notes, I won't stop. The problem is that I have more height. So the gift is there, the ability is there, but there is no height. And so if you have height, it will now bring value to your gift. It will now bring value to your abilities. It will now bring value to your potential. This is why you must hear me. Because too many youths in Africa are gifted, but they are wasting because they don't have height. I met a brother recently, a dangerous inventor. Anything he touches, he can change it to anything. But it's in an environment that is depressed. It's in a valley. And so although he has gifts, but the environment wouldn't let him rise because of the environment. The environment is a low level. There's no height. If you meet this man, he will inspire you. As far back as 2011, he designed a car that can be powered with electricity. What Elon Musk did a few years ago that is making millions, this guy designed it in 2011. So if there was height to his talent, it should have been more wealthy than Elon Musk. As of 2011, Elon Musk is worth around $300 million. Today, Elon Musk is worth over $219 billion because of three projects that he has embarked upon from the place of advantage. So a man who is on top of the mountain can do little and the world will celebrate him. But the man who is below the valley will do 10 times more, nobody will see it because he doesn't have height. This conference has come to give you the grace to ascend. It has come to add height to your life. So that you will know that even what you have now is enough to change your world. But height is the challenge. What are the requirements for height? I give you five of them quickly tonight. Number one, the first thing that gives you power for ascension in the realm of God is purity. I will take it from the spiritual dimension first, because the spiritual is superior to the natural. If you lack purity, you will discover that infirmity is a burden. Infirmity is a weight. Iniquity is a weight. All of that will pull you down. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer was speaking and he said, lay aside every weight that and sin that doth easily beset you, and run the race with patience. You know why many people cannot fly? They are heavy. Any equipment that wants to go high is designed to be light. Because it will need that lightness as an advantage to gain height. But you see, in the spirit, one of the heaviest weights you will carry are iniquities and attitudes or lifestyle that are not consistent with the nature of God. And so when you find many people who are gifted yet struggling, check them. There is either a sin or a weight in their lives. And so a man who wants to gain ascension in the spirit, the first thing he needs to do is to rid himself of weight. As fast as Usain Bolt is, if Usain Bolt is carrying this AC, I will beat him in Olympics. It will no longer matter his capacity to run. He's carrying a weight. If I'm running with Usain Bolt and all of us are wearing tight, he will finish. I will still be close to the starting line. But if Usain Bolt makes the mistake of carrying this AC, no matter how fast he is, I will put my hand in the pocket and win him. The problem now is not his lack of speed. The problem is the weight he's carrying. Many people cannot ascend because they are carrying weights of immorality. They are carrying weights of lying. They are carrying weights of iniquity. So no matter what God does to them, in them, and through them, they can never ascend. Because those weights will pull them down. That is why for anyone who wants to go high, ridding yourself of impurity must become your priority. See, you will take time and outline everything that makes it impossible for you to approach God. And you will pray consciously, Lord, remove this lying. Lord, remove this immorality. Lord, remove this pornography. Because if it is there, He will forgive you, but you cannot ascend. Every time you fornicate and you ask for forgiveness, He will forgive you, but you cannot ascend. Every time you live in sin, you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. It's His nature. But the problem is that you can never ascend. And so after many years, you will now discover you have missed too many seasons. And those seasons you have missed are supposed to be the staircases of your ascension. So every time you miss a season, you have missed a staircase. And you will look back later, after 30 years, you are on the same spot. Iniquity has robbed many people of ascension. They say, who shall ascend the mountains of the Lord? Who shall stand upon His holy hills? They say, him that is of a clean hand. Him that is of a pure heart. So the first credential for ascension in the realm of God is purity. In 1 Peter 2:11, hear what Peter said. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which wages war against your soul. So when you are living in sin, what you don't know is that the power of your soul is what you are spending from. It said fleshly lust wages war. Why do you think many young people today cannot have strategic decision-making power? Why do you think many young men today lack the needed inspiration to move their life forward? And the way destiny works is that what can affect your 10 years can happen in a second. You just miss the moment. You start with somebody, the right words to speak didn't come. It's after the person left, you now remember what you should have said. What that person walking away, that's your 10 years going. Because what that person should have done, if you said the right thing, would have affected the next 10 years. But you see, you have spent of your mental power when you were giving yourself to iniquity. It says, flee youthful lust. It wages war against your soul. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Too many of us are missing our moments. We are missing our seasons. Why? Because the inspiration didn't come at the right time. Sex, immorality, lying, hypocrisy, exaggeration, all of these things have made it has thwarted the circuit of flow of inspiration. And so every time you are knowing what you should say at the wrong time, every time you are approaching the moment of your visitation at the wrong time. And so all of these spiritual cycles are taking place, but you are the one missing out. And so you will discover that somebody who carried your 5 years just left. You didn't meet him. Somebody who carried your 10 years had a conversation with you. You spoke for 1 hour. You didn't know what to say. Or you were saying only the wrong things. And when you were done talking and he left, he never remembers that he met you. And he just left with your future. Because you have allowed iniquity to stain your soul. Every time you stain yourself with iniquity, I tell you, you have wasted your future. Why do you think? See, the devil is smart. He knows these things. Hope you know that he was a cherub. He operated in the courts of God. He knows how God works. And so when you look at the world today, almost 80% of every activity in the world today is designed to suggest sin and iniquity. The other day I carried my phone tab. I was writing on my notepad. For God's sake, notepad has nothing to do with internet. But because my data was on, suddenly I clicked notepad to write, and a young lady appeared on the screen, opening her leg. I said, it was so embarrassing. What if somebody was passing? He would now say, look at Apostle. I was shocked and embarrassed at the same time. So they are forcing iniquity down your throat. Because the devil knows that the eye is the gate. The ear is the gate. The moment you see it, the brain will go to work. And then some people sit there. They are processing pornography, processing immorality for 24 hours in every 48 hours. You think that kind of person can host a project that will affect worry? Do you know the mental energy that goes into a project that has a statewide scale? Do you know the mental power that goes into processing a project that has a national scale? I tell you, you will not have that ability. If I give you my schedule for the past 2 weeks, you'll be shocked. The reason I am fresh is because I have not allowed iniquity into my chamber. Because if it enters, it will kill me. I returned on the first. I flew to the United Kingdom for a conference. Landed on the second, sort things out. From the third, we had a meeting with volunteers. Fourth and fifth, we had the meeting. The next day, I had to fly to Edinburgh in Scotland. I ministered that night. The next day, I flew back to London. Ministered. The next day, I flew to Aberdeen. I flew to Glasgow. Ministered for 2 nights and flew to Aberdeen. Ministered the next day. After I finished that Sunday morning, I told my wife, gather your bags. We scheduled my flight. I'm going to Nigeria. And that night, I came back to London, flew to Abuja. On Tuesday, I arrived Monday. Tuesday was Bible study. I thought on Wednesday, I had to go to Benue to defend my PhD of document. And I was reading. Because I've switched from one world to another. I left the spirit world into chemistry. Nobody will ask you John 3:16 there. When I go there, I'm talking nanochemistry. And so my brain had to switch. And immediately, I was able in 24 hours to internalize 248 page textbook. Because that was my PhD thesis. And you also have to prove to them that you are adding value to humanity. Because PhD is not undergraduate. You must add something to knowledge. And in 20 minutes, I was done talking. It didn't finish. They now say, sit down. And you are facing 7 professors. And they are asking you questions from everywhere in chemistry. And they expect you to answer. How can your brain function like that if you are thinking pornography? If you are thinking masturbation? How can you function? When I finish, they say, go, you can call yourself a doctor. You don't gain height until purity comes into your chamber. Because it has something to do with your capacity. And as I finished from there, I came back to Abuja on Thursday night. Because I finished around 3 p.m. I hit the road 5 hours, traveled to Abuja. On Friday, I had to fly to Akwa Ibom. I was in Akwa Ibom. I switched back to, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I preached there. Preached the next morning, flew back to Abuja on Saturday in the afternoon. I was in Foursquare Gospel Church. And I ministered there. Sunday, I ministered. In the evening, I returned to encounter Jesus. And still ministered. And you keep that schedule round the clock. I've not told you about my family life. I've not told you about my business. I've not told you about my relationship with God. Do you think global things come cheap? It will take a lot of mental power. It will draw life out of you. That's why you cannot afford to waste life on iniquity. That's why you cannot afford. He said, I looked through the window. I saw a young man void of understanding. He said he was walking the path of death because he went the way of the harlot. The moment you journey the way of iniquity, the Bible calls it the path of death. Because there, your strength is wasted. There, your life is wasted. There, your energy is wasted. And so when the matters of destiny confront you, you are weak. You are helpless. You are vulnerable. And you don't know why you never ascend. Iniquity comes to eat you up. It comes to eat you up. And that's why Peter said to flee from these things. You think you are having fun? You are eating your life. Every young man who wants to be impactful must know how to keep his or her vessel. Because there will be many demands on your strength. There will be many demands on your mental power. There will be many demands on your life. And at all time you must be, times, you must be fresh. It's not enough to be present. You have to be fresh. You have to be your best. And for you to remain like that, purity, you cannot compromise on it. I'm telling you why many never ascend. When they come to matters of their destiny, they are so weak. They are so tired. And you are wondering, you are just 24 years old. Why are you so tired? Meanwhile, our fathers who are in their 80s are still very agile, going about their business as if they are in their 20s. And then you see people who are in their 20s so weak because they have sapped out the energy of their destiny through iniquity. They've sapped out the energy of their destiny through impurity. And so the only thing they are good for is to sit down and gossip and talk what does not matter and argue football and talk about a gear and talk about nonsense that cannot impact their destiny. You have seen a man who should affect a nation. He sits down from morning to night watching a seasonal movie because there's no energy. He cannot see. Matters of destiny come with demand. It takes a lot of demand to think. It takes a lot of energy to process. He doesn't have it. So all he can do is to sit down and waste away. And the root of it is impurity. The root of it is iniquity. If you want to ascend the hills of the Lord, you say your hands must be pure. Your heart must be pure. That means you must not be involved in anything that has to do with sin and iniquity. Peter said, run away from fleshly lust. Run. If somebody brings something that has the stain of iniquity on it, run. Paul said, flee every appearance of evil. Flee. Don't wait. That's why Joseph succeeded. When Potiphar's wife said, come and sleep with me. He said, no, I cannot do this evil. The woman grabbed him. The guy took off. If you stand here, you will fall. And most of you stood. You thought you were strong. And later you came back weeping. Because you don't know the formula. The formula is to flee. When somebody comes with lying and gossip, flee. When somebody comes with immorality, flee. God is telling you that he wants to promote you. And suddenly, a boy that you didn't talk to for 4 years now wakes up and says, Jennifer, are you still alive? See the way you have abandoned me. And then you say, no be so. No be who? Where are you coming from? I'm about to enter a new season. Why do they come at those junctions? You think the devil does not know? You that was cold, you attended many meetings. The only revival meeting you went to and caught fire. You are coming home. And then somebody called you and said, sorry, is that Matthew? You say, yes. Because you heard the voice that sounded, is that Matthew? You are about to sink into the grave. Matthew, why did you throw me away like this? Did I do anything? If I did anything, I'm sorry. Up your phone, delete the number and block it. It's a pit. You are about to be swallowed into a pit. Have sense, sir. Have sense. Destiny is at stake. You think demons are not watching? Listen, Jesus was 8 days old. They already saw his star. And they knew he would be a king. Every season of your ascension, the devil knows. And he will look for something that is a weakness. He will look for something that is a pattern in your bloodline. He knew what your great-grandfather fell to. He knew what your grandfather fell to. He knows what your father fell to. He will bring it to you. 90% of the chance, you too will fall. Because if Abraham loved fair women, Isaac will love fair women. Jacob will love fair women. If Abraham lies to a king, Isaac will lie to a king. Jacob will lie. The devil knows. He has the whole curriculum vitae of your family. And they will take from it every strategic season. And so what wise men do is that they run from iniquity. They don't stand to fight it. They don't stand to explain. They don't show that they are strong. They run. It's when you have run away, you now look back. If you still see any sign, ask for mileage. It's needed for ascension. Flee from every appearance of evil. Your future depends on it. You will sit down, you will see somebody you taught is now taking over the world. Your student that you taught and you were encouraging, now you are in the same place, he's teaching you. You see people that you want to Christ, they are taking over their world, and you are still here. You say, God, why? It's not God, why? It's Michael, why? It's James, why? It's Queen, why? Because you are the reason you are where you are. If you want to ascend, rid yourself of iniquity. Because you cannot appear in that realm with stains. He said, thou, O Lord, art of a purer eyes. He said, your eyes cannot behold iniquity. Number two, how do you ascend? By humility. He said, in that same scripture, Psalm 24, verse 4, he said, that person must not have lifted up his soul in vanity. You know, when a man or a woman has greatness, there is a way he thinks. And so when the devil knows that there is greatness in you, he will now start putting pressure on it. And what that pressure comes to do is to force you to start living a lie. And so instead of allowing yourself to grow through process, from your little into your great, the devil will force you to start acting as if you have arrived. And so because of that, where you need to bend your head to learn, you will not. And in our world today, they've given it a branded name. They call it packaging. So you see people living fake lives, putting pressure on themselves. A man who is earning 40,000 wants to live in a house of 700,000. So he needs 2 years' salary to pay 1 year rent. So that people will think he is something. A young man comes to a place where you learn. He sees elders. He wants to show so that they will say him too, he's there. Because he wants to snap a picture and put somewhere and appear in a way. And he's squaring shoulders where he should bend down. And when the devil sees that those tendencies are in you, he will now create a pattern of pressure on your life. And so your life will become fake. You will elude process. When you should say, you are acting like the CEO so that people will not mistake you or people will not undermine you. It's a lie. Listen, packaging does not give you honor. It is God that puts honor on a man. He said, lay your hands upon Joshua. I will take of the honor that is upon you and put upon him. If you need to sell pure water, sell it gracefully. You are in your process. If you are selling okrika, sell it with enthusiasm. You are in your process. There is an experience you need to pick from there so that when you own a bank, you will not be deceived. Don't allow the devil bring pride to kill you. Because you know the problem with pride? If the devil succeeds in putting pride in you, he will not be the one fighting you. He will leave you. God will be the one fighting you. So if the devil can't fight you, he will set you up so that you become an enemy of God. And the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it said, God himself, this is what he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In due season, he will exhort you. He said, but if you try to exhort yourself, God will be the one to elbow you. God will be the one to push you down. So the man is fasting and praying, but he cannot ascend. He goes to the mountain for 40 days. He wants that business to explode. He wants that ministry to explode. But God wants to save his soul. If that business explodes, that's why he will go to hell. If that business explodes, that's why he will go to hell. Because his pride is too much. So after praying and fasting, God will channel that energy to somebody else. So the moment he ascends, God will show him a picture of somebody, intercede for that person. You are not yet ready. And so every time you're on 30 days fast, you see a vision about 2-3 people. You pray for them, you come back. That's the only benefit. So that in eternity you have reward. But if you think that fasting will take you anywhere, it's a lie. God will humble you. He will keep you down. Because if you ascend with the garbage of pride, you will suffer what Lucifer suffered. Because when he saw himself that he was glorious, he said, now I will exalt my throne. See, every time you try to exalt yourself, you are playing the script of Lucifer. It's a Luciferian script. It is God that exalts us in this kingdom. You don't exalt yourself. God is the one that lifts you up. And so he said the way God recommends you for lifting is when you humble yourself under his mighty hand. I'm showing you the organic reality of ascension. I can begin with prayer. I can begin with prophecy. I can begin with impartation. But hear me, no matter how much you pray, if there is sin in your life, you will not ascend. No matter how much prophecy is on your head, if there is sin in your life, you will not ascend. If there is pride in your life, you will not ascend. Did you not read the story of Jacob? After he was blessed, the Abrahamic blessing, he was the only person on earth carrying the Abrahamic blessing. The only person. Still, God could not lift him. The angel had to wrestle him all night. This guy was already having encounters. He had the covenant on his life. He had the blessing on his life. But the angel fought him all night. When the angel saw that he cannot take away flesh, he had to break his thigh. So the guy had to lean on a staff to be a prince. Because when he was walking on his two legs, he was too proud. He was too self-centered. He was too selfish. So let's cripple him. So that as he leans on that staff, he will not depend on himself anymore. He is too full of himself. And they broke his staff, his thigh, in order to bless him. If you are full of yourself, there is no way you can ascend. You will be the reason why you will go down. And these are eternal principles of scriptures. Listen, we are young people. The present and the future depends on us. We must get it right. This is a generation where somebody has three invitations. The next thing is a global prophet. Somebody has a kiosk because he had a turnover of 50,000. He has become a CEO. And then he wants everybody in the neighborhood to perceive him. So we walk in a way that we want people to perceive us. We act everything. You see somebody, God is helping him. The next thing, he doesn't smile anymore. Anybody that comes around him, whether young or old, you find a young man, he says he's an apostle. In his 20s or 30s, 60-year-old person is standing to see him. He will keep him as if nothing is happening. And when he eventually comes to see him, the person will kneel down and be talking to him. He's reading the spirit realm. He's checking the angelic order. And a 60-year-old woman is kneeling down and begging him. And when he finishes, he will come and say, it is well. Nothing will happen. That's why you see us doing manipulation and all forms of theatrics. The real raw power is not there. The real raw power is no longer present. Because God, you think God will throw powers. Do you know the powers the fathers command? You think God will throw that kind of power on this arrogant generation? So that we will think it's all about a show? The last convention that was held, Dusi was telling me when he went to minister, over 4 million people at the redemption camp. A 3 kilometer by 3 kilometer auditorium was packed. A 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer is used as an overflow. It was packed. And the person preaching just comes gently and quietly, talking as if he... And then you are... So you know that this thing is beyond packaging. It is the hand of God lifting a man. It's God himself exhorting a man. This is how people are sent. Some people now will wait. You must call 3 times before they pick, even if they are with the phone, so that you will take them serious. When you call, they will look at it. Call again. When they now pick the 3rd time. How are you? I don't have time. That's response to call. How are you? I don't have time. Why? He had a conference in Gabon. He just came back from Gabon. And because he has crossed border, he is now a global minister. You invite him for conference the next time, you see 4 protocol. A young man of 25, of 31, is coming for conference. 2 people are holding Bible. 1 is carrying his suit. He doesn't even wear it. It's when he enters, when he wants to climb the altar, he will now collect the suit and wear it. And when he climbs the altar, he will first of all stand. Because of the height where he came from heaven, that height, he can't talk yet. And the angels are looking. When he finishes talking all that he knows to talk, no headache will be healed. No headache will be healed. Because God cannot validate that kind of garbage. I'm telling you why we don't rise. And we take pride in prayer. You see everybody. And God is looking. You will pray. That prayer, if it starts working, the first thing it will do, it will break you. Is it not because you are young that you are marching? Hello. And you are bragging that you pray for 72 hours. Pride. pride. That's why we can go nowhere. You want to ascend? Sit down and tell yourself the truth. Many times, sometimes I hear myself and I say, Jesus Christ, forgive me. Did I say this thing? I was preaching somewhere in Owerri, and I think I was trying to charge the people to study. I now heard myself talking how I'm intelligent, how I don't fail. When I heard it, the Holy Ghost convicted me. I said, Father, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was the one saying this thing. Oh, Lord God of mercy, have mercy, have mercy. I was afraid what I heard myself say. What kind of pride is this? Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. So that you don't sell tomorrow in your today. Because when God sees that you cannot manage this little glory, He will now say, okay, in order for us to still have you in heaven, let's pause here. Because if we give you more glory, you will not come to heaven. And we don't want you to waste in hell. So let's just keep the little you have now. Let's manage you here until you come back home. Because if this little can enter your head like this, you have a meeting, 50 people come, you make the cameraman snap in a strategic location, and you put it, you say, the Lord is helping His work. If 50 people come and you are acting like this, then 3,000 will never come. 10,000, because that one will take you to hell. Pride. That's why we never ascend. He said, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand upon His holy mountains? He said, him that is of a clean hands, of a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul in vanity. Because all of those things, they are vanities. If God opens our eyes and our understanding, we will know that they are vanities. When recently that God started giving me opportunity to meet great people, one signature I have found in their life consistently is humility, simplicity, brokenness. I now discover that this thing truly is the hand of God that lifts men. The second key for ascension is total humility. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. In Luke 14:11, it says, for whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and him that humbleth himself, He said, he shall be exalted. In Luke 1:52, He said, He had put down the mighty from their seat and exalted them that are of low degree. So God is in the business of searching for those who are humble so that He can exalt them. No wonder the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8, He said, He lifted the poor from the dust and the beggar from the dunghill to establish them among princes so that they can inherit thrones. When a man does not know how to go down, he will never go up. If a man does not know the way of humility, he will never find the road to exaltation. Every ascended life is first of all a protocol of descension. It's as you go down in humility that God lifts you up in ascension. This is the third key for an ascended life. Number three, what is the third key? That's the second key. What's the third key for an ascended life? Wisdom. If you want to ascend in this kingdom, you must do business with wisdom. In Proverbs 24, from verse 3 and 4, the Bible said, through wisdom is an house builded. It said, by understanding it is established. And it said, through knowledge, all the chambers are filled with every good thing. See, if you don't have wisdom, even if God lifts you up, you will bring yourself down. It's a matter of time. There are many persons that have demoted themselves, even though God was trying so hard to help them. A foolish man cannot be helped. One prayer you must endeavor to pray in this life is, Lord, bless me with wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. It says get wisdom. In all you're getting, it says get understanding. Because if you lack wisdom, I'm telling you, even if God lifts you, you will bring yourself down. And there are three areas you must have wisdom and have enough wisdom. Number one is with men. You know the way the fathers deal with people? When they see you, they deliberately, in their humility, make themselves appear to be at your level. Come and see the foolish man. I went to a meeting somewhere. An elder, that is, this is an elder, that it should be laying hands on us and blessing us. When we came for the meeting, I came with a fellow brother for the meeting. And in his humility, he will see you, he will hug you, he will shake you. How are you, my brother? And all of that. I saw my brother, met this elder. Ah, man of God, how are you? How are you doing? My heart skipped. Shuki, man of God. Ah. I thought the first time was a mistake. Maybe he didn't see him well. Man of God, how are you? He was laughing at Jesus Christ. I was so afraid for him. And this is what many people do, and doors are shut against them. Because the Bible says, man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. When those people at the top humble themselves, it's so that they can help you. If a man is bigger than you, he knows. A man who is bigger than you, he doesn't need anybody to tell him. He knows. He's just trying to encourage you. He's just trying to help you to be comfortable. He's trying to give you an opportunity to learn so that you can grow. If you make the mistake in your foolishness to think that's your colleague, he will shut that door. And many people are where they are because many doors are shut against them. Because when they opened it, they were foolish. They didn't have wisdom in dealing with men. They didn't have wisdom to keep that door open. Don't make the mistake of making somebody who should be your father, your colleague, because he chose to call you friend. Because if you lack that wisdom, you will see that your many seasons will elude you because you don't have wisdom in dealing with men. The second dimension of wisdom is with resources. Every level God wants to take you to, there are resources that sponsor it, both spiritual and natural resources. There are some spiritual resources made for your rising. The anointing is one of them. Spiritual giftings are also part of it. But if you don't have wisdom to manage those things, when those things dry up, you will be sure that nobody loves you. It's what is on your life they love. God gives you a grace for opening His word, and you don't have the wisdom to sit on the word and grow in it. After a while, you are preaching the same thing for the next 2 years. People will shut their ears to you because you didn't have wisdom to manage it. God gives you a gift. You started singing. The first 1 year you were singing, everywhere you went to, you brought freshness from heaven. Now you are too busy. You don't have time to service that gift anymore. You come, you are singing, people are sleeping. They will shut the door against you. You will discover that your rising will be stunted. You know why? You didn't know how to manage spiritual resources. Because it is the grace on your life that people honor. It's the grace on your life that people desire. If that grace dries, everybody will look for another one. And then you have physical resources like money. Many people waste the money they should invest. The Bible said, God giveth seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Some people eat their seed and their bread together, and so their next season never show up. They don't have wisdom in dealing with resources. And so every resource they have, they waste it. You are earning 200,000, 150,000. What business do you have to do with iPhone 14? Except if your business is online and you need the graphics. But in order to create impression, they foolishly waste money that they should invest. And so every money that enters their hands depletes. You will never see them tell you, I had 100,000, now it's 200,000. I had 1 million, now it's 3 million. I have 40 million, now it's 80 million. Every money you give them, go back. After 1 minute, come back. Something have left it. It's as if there is something scratching them, that the moment resources enter their hands, it should deplete. The moment money comes, they start thinking of where to spend. The guy was looking for money yesterday, literally begging. God helped him, money came today. The next thing he's saying is, let's go and buy some things. Oh God, why won't you? Does money, is money shooting you? Is the money pinching you? Why keep it and think first? Sometimes when resources come to your hand, leave it, just keep it and think. Allow that resources, let it be there first. Let inspiration come. But when you find people who will never ascend, they are wasters of resources. No matter what you give them, it will finish. Give them time. Give him 100 million today, he will stand up. He will think he has all the money in the world. He starts spending. He reduces to 80 million and say, I'm on a wow. Guy, this thing is small, small. He spends. He comes to 40 million. He now says, wait, let me keep 20 million aside. I won't touch this one. He will watch the other 20 million and still come back to the remaining 20 and still devour it. Those are eaters of their future. They have no wisdom in dealing with resources. The third kind of wisdom God will give you is in taking strategic decisions. Many times, the reason people don't make or amount to anything in life is because they make the wrong decisions at the junctions of their destiny. And so when God wants you to ascend in life, He will give you wisdom. And that wisdom principally will be with men, with resources, and with your seasons. He said the sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:22. He said they had understanding of times and seasons. They knew what Israel ought to do. So there was specific wisdom. 1 Chronicles 12:32. The sons of Issachar, they had understanding of times and seasons. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, it said, there is a time for every purpose under heaven. You need to know when to read. You need to know when to fast. You need to know when to pray. If you substitute the time for study, for watching football, or playing PS, or going for clubbing, the day God raises men, don't be surprised that you are at the bottom. Because you didn't have wisdom to make the right decision. None of these things are wrong in themselves if they are done at the right time. And that is why wisdom itself is a kind of power. Because that power will confer upon you the ability to do the right thing at the right time in the right place. Nobody rises without wisdom. And so you want to rise, you want to ascend, you want to lead this conference and be relevant, you must function with wisdom. Number four, diligence. Nobody ascends in life without diligence. Focused, committed, responsible lifestyle. That's what diligence is. A focused, committed, and responsible lifestyle. Because for God to move you to a higher level, He will check what you did with the previous level. For God to give you a new instruction, He will check how you responded to the last instruction. There are too many people who are not diligent. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:29, popular scripture, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He said he will stand before kings and not before men. In Matthew 25, verse 20 and 21, when God gave the parable, Jesus spoke of the parable of the talents. He said he gave one 5 talents. Through diligence, when he asked for account, he said that one returned and said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. Here, I have made another 5 talents in return. And in verse 21, he said, now go and take charge of 10 cities. Because you have been faithful in what was given to you. Every time you see men going up, up, up only, they are diligent with every other thing they have handled down, down, down. It is their diligence with what they had that qualified them for the next level they got into. In Proverbs 10:4, he said, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. He said, but the hand that is diligent will surely make rich. In 1 Kings 11:28 to 31, the Bible spoke of how Solomon exhorted a young man. He said, and the man, Jeroboam, was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. He saw that the man was industrious. And that was not all about his rising. If you read down to verse 30, the Bible revealed to us that God, through his prophet, spoke to the same man again. He said, Ahijah caught him. He wore a new garment. And he rent the garment into 12. Look at what he said in verse 31. Still diligence promoting this man. He said, and he said to Jeroboam, take the ten pieces. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give you 10 tribes. So Solomon was not the only one that exhorted him. Even God saw his diligence and said, I will commit 10 kingdoms to you. So any man who is diligent, his path is upward and forward only. Check our youth today. You are in the university, you can't pass sociology. And you are talking about taking over the world. Your whole lecture note is 30 pages. You are doing 7 courses. All of them, 5 pages, 10 pages. And you can't pass. You go to the resort wall. You have F, 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 D, D, C. Your best grade is 1 and it's D. And then you say, we will take over this world. Not because what you are doing is rocket science. Just because you couldn't sit down to read. When people are reading, you went to see a friend. You are either making hair, or you are with a friend, or you are in the movie, or you are in the market. And you are thinking, if you are God, will you hand over a city to you? If you are God, tell yourself the truth. If you are God, and you have a project in worry, will you hand it to you? You find some people, even they shed the wear, they can't iron it. And they come, they say, we are taking over. We are taking over. Hey, Lega, over, over. Take over what? You can't iron your shirt. How many shirts do you have? It doesn't take 10 minutes to iron a shirt. And then you say you are taking over. I know most of you were expecting for me to come and tell you the mystery of the third heaven. As you are dealing with ascension, you are joking. If you can't deal with natural things, is it spiritual things you can handle? You look at some young men, they breakfast, they eat, it's still hanging on their beards. Around 2 p.m., bread is hanging there. Because when he ate food, there was food hanging on his beard. He can't even wait to comb his hair. And he's talking about worry. Do you know the complex forces that rule this city? He's talking about Nigeria. He's talking about Africa. He's talking about his generation. He can't iron his shirt. He can't comb his hair. And you can you comb a city? If you can't comb your small head, is it a city? Your shirt is rumpled. You can't straighten your shirt. Is it a city like worry you can straighten? When we were coming down from the plane, they say they should go down in order. Those who are in front, come first. I was on the third row. Before I stood up, I saw people coming out from behind. They don't have time. You are the one who knows what you are saying. Is that a city you want to handle? When you can't handle your shirt, do you know the people here? Maybe you should go and stand at a Furun Junction and look around the town again. And then you will know that it takes so much for the destiny of this nation to be committed. When I say, we are taking over, all of us say, yes, take over. Have you been able to take over your bedroom? Go to some people's bedroom now. The bed has not been dressed this week. Today is Friday. They have not dressed their bed this week. Go to some people's room. There is tissue on the floor. The ground is scattered everywhere until a visitor comes and the visitor dresses that bed. It will never be dressed. And he's saying, they will take over. We will take over. It's our time. They are even querying the fathers. Allow us to shine. Allow us to manifest. It's our time. It's your time. If they give you this country now, won't it crash? Even God, when he hears us talking, he's saying, do they know the responsibility? It's our time. They don't want us to shine. Look at the other nations. We are not against youth rising. And we are not saying there are no great youths in Nigeria. There are many great youths in Nigeria and in Africa. But the question is, sir, is your wardrobe kept? When was the last time you washed your socks? These socks you are wearing. Some people, if they remove their shoe here, you will die of suffocation. Because of the stench that will come out of socks has not been washed. And a stinking of addressing a nation. Are you not afraid? If they make a mistake to remove their shoe, where people, everywhere is polluted. And that's the socks they are wearing. Don't let some people greet you at close range. You will faint. If they just say good, before they say money, the acid and chemical that will hit you from their mouth. If you don't collapse, it means the power of the Holy Ghost was sustaining you. If they say good, you will say, keep money, keep money, keep money. I'm telling you, ascension is not a gift. They are credentials. They are requirements. And diligence is one of it. And finally, tonight, what does it take to ascend? Prayers. If you want to ascend, you must be given to prayers. And this is the really spiritual aspect of this subject I'll be touching in the next 3 minutes. Prayer. Please hear me. This life is spiritual. You can get everything right. If you miss the spiritual aspect, you will miss it all. And so if you are hoping to ascend, you must make sure you give yourself to prayer. Over the ages, go and study your scripture from Genesis chapter 4 into Revelation. Everyone that was carried up was by prayer. The Bible said in Genesis 4:25, it said, from the days of Enosh, it said, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Check verse 26 for me. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I heard a sound as of a trumpet. It says, as I turned, he was carried to heaven. Prayer is one of the vehicles of ascension in this kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it said, they that wait upon the Lord, it said, they shall renew their strength. See, there's a technology in prayer for strength renewal. It said, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. It said, they shall run and not be weary. It said, they shall walk and they shall not faint. The reason most of us become weary in the race of destiny is because there is no waiting. It's because there is no prayer. It said in Jude verse 20, it said, you dearly beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, sisters and brothers. You have to build yourself. You know why? There are many forces that will want to choke you. You have not started rising. That's why you will think life is simple. The moment you start rising and you begin to make impact, even your best friends will become your enemies. The moment you start rising, sometimes even your family will become a stumbling block. The moment you start rising, unsolicited enemies will appear from nowhere. The reason everybody loves you is because you are the realm of mediocrity. If you make up your mind that I will ascend beyond mediocrity, enemies will emerge. Some will come with daggers. Some will come with arrows. Some will come with bows. Some will come with spears. The only way to build energy against these things is when you start praying. You know what prayer will do for you? Prayer will help you to sustain a high morale all the time. And I tell you, for you to win the battles of life, you need high morale. You will think youthfulness is enough. The Bible says even the youth shall faint. It said the young men shall utterly fall. He said, they that wait upon the Lord. So this strength is beyond youthfulness. I'm telling you, ask my brother Peterson. He will tell you, the moment 2-3 people hear your song and they start singing it, some people will gang up. All they want to do is to paint you black, so that you will have a negative PR and nobody will see you in the good light. Sometimes they will deliberately say negative things about you. If you hear some of them, The Bible called them the lashing tongue. They will chisel your heart. It will break you. If you are not careful, bitterness will enter. If you are not careful, anger will enter. If you are not careful, depression will enter. If you are not careful, even fear will enter. The only thing you will do to shove off every arrow is that when they talk, you go to the altar. When they talk, you go to the altar. Kakasusa, Areko Sagadana. You use mysteries to fight the battles of life. Make one step in the upward direction and see the enemies that will appear. You will be shocked. Sometimes you ask yourself, what have I done to them? Some people will swear that you won't make it. Not because you offended them. They just hate that you are the one making it. They just hate it that they are not the ones. Because they are not the faces of the people, it cannot be anybody else. Because they are not the faces traveling from one place to another, it cannot be anybody else. Because they are not the faces being celebrated, it cannot be anybody. And so if they are not there, any other person there must die. And so they will attack you, they will gossip you, they will conspire against you, they will accuse you until you go down. And even when you go down, they won't stop. You will think when you go down, then they will stop. They will stop. They will say, yes, we said it. That he was not going to last. Yes, we said it. That he was going to fail. Yes, we said it. They will still talk about your failure because your failure is what gives ventilation to their soul. But if you know that you are not supposed to go down, if you know that their prayer will not be answered, if you want their wish not to be answered, then there is one way out. Akiso rakaparak, davak, davak, davak. This is why every young man must know the way of prayer. This is why every young man must know the way of intercession. Because the psalmist said, many are they that rise up against me, and they say there is no hope for me. He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Many are they. Your enemies are not few. They are many. They are many than you know. He said, there's an arrow that flies by day. There is a pestilence that wastes in noonday. He said, 1,000 shall come from your left. 1,000 shall come from your right. He said, they shall not touch you because you have made God, even the Most High, your habitation. That's the place of prayer. They that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like the eagles. They mount up with wings. There is a place of ascension in the spirit. There is a place of flight in the spirit. It's the altar of prayer. Scriptures that blessed me the most in my life is 1 Kings chapter 17. David, it was his season of rising. The Bible said his father sent him to take food to his brothers at the battlefield. And when David came, God had planned everything for his rising. He saw Goliath cursing Israel. And he asked his brother innocently, who is this man cursing Israel? He says, the champion of Gath. For 40 days, he has been cursing us. No man can challenge him. And David said, what shall be done for the man that brings him down? The brother said, shut up. I know your pride. I know your arrogance. Go home from here. Are you a soldier? The first battle you will fight is family. And most times, the points that we raise will be legitimate. David's brother was in the army. Shut up. He called it pride. He called it arrogance. When you are moving forward in life, they will say you are ambitious. They will say you are proud. They will say you are arrogant. It's an attack on your destiny. But you know what? David came there charged. He came there stirred up. He didn't come there casually. He came prepared. He turned away from his brother. Since you don't want to tell me the right thing, I will look for who will tell me the right thing. The brother saw him as a weakling. He saw him only as a boy. David said, I will turn to somebody who sees me as an answer. And he asked another man. And the man said, whoever does this, this and this and this will be done for him. Even the king's daughter will be given to him. He said, I'm interested. Take me to the king. You will think his battles are over. When he came to Saul, Saul looked at him and laughed. He said, you are but a boy. He said, that man was a warrior from his youth. If that man, if you can recognize that man as a warrior from his youth, why can't you see a warrior in this youth? Because men will write you off. They will demoralize you. But David came charged. He's a warrior. David said, in case you don't know, sir, let me give you my credentials. Once upon a time, I was keeping my father's sheep. A lion came, I tore it about. A bear came, I tore it apart. The same God that killed the lion will kill this man. When he gave his credentials, he humbled Saul. And he said, okay, take my armor. The armor was too heavy, but David was not intimidated. You know, many times they will tell you, you need a PhD to be able to talk and the world will hear you. You need to have traveled to the U.S. Have you traveled to the United Kingdom? How much experience do you have? The Holy Ghost is my experience. The Holy Ghost. That's my experience. That's my qualification. David said, I don't need your armor. I will use what I'm used to. And David carried stones and went to Goliath. When he came to Goliath, Goliath was offended. So you don't have a soldier to send. It's a young boy you send. He began to cuff David, but he didn't intimidate David. The Bible said, David told him, you come against me with bows and arrows. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose army you have defied. And David carried stones. And the Bible said in 1 Kings 17, verse 48, he said, when Goliath approached David, he said, David ran at him. He was not intimidated. See, if you are not charged, when you see Goliath, you will faint. And most times, the key to your next level is the Goliath. So you need to be charged, not to recognize his height, not to recognize his armor. But the way of charging is by capacity in prayer. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Some of you are too calm for your destiny. You need some intoxication. You need some fresh wine. You need some fresh wine. And so the way you drink in the spirit is by rakakatona, avaradua, takabarati, azoso, fakata, aratina, arakatina, sakaparosta, adrosta, pararosta, arikapando, avaya. Oh! Yeromai, marakina kapakatoa, azuto, maruate, abelo, manteke, abiakwate, takatuna, hear this. Sometimes the platform that will manifest you is too big for you. Sometimes the season in which you should manifest, the Goliaths are too much of giants for you. That's why you cannot go with your brain alone. You need to go drunk. Drunk in the spirit. So that when you show up there, nothing can kill your morale. Nothing can intimidate you. I'm telling you, Everyone who wins battles, their morale level must be high. Go and ask soldiers, they will tell you. You can be stronger than your enemy. If your morale is low, you will fail the battle. You need high morale. High, high, high. And the way to jack your morale up is by prayer. When you are done praying, do you know what happens to you? There are three things that happens. Number one is re-engineering. When you start praying, there's something it does. It changes you. It changes you. It transfigures you. The Bible said in Matthew 17 verse 2, as Jesus went up to pray, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. You put on the garment of glory. And when you wear glory, no platform becomes too big. No season becomes too big. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? I don't know who is drunk here. I don't know who is tired here. I refuse to be low. I refuse to be low in morale. Designed man, the way God designed us is different from the way he designed angels. The glory of angels is on them, but the glory of man is locked on his inside. He said we have this glory in earthen vessel. When you start praying, what you are doing is that you are excavating that glory. That's why I said they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers. There are rivers on your inside. You can't be dry. You cannot suffer dry seasons. Every season, there should be a gusher. 1 minute, can we pray for the stirring of those fountains? If those rivers begin to flow, make God we hear you. In our hearts, That means everyone standing here has enough capacity on his inside to contain eternity. How can Nigeria swallow you up? How can Africa swallow you up? How can America become too big? How can England become too big? If eternity is in your heart, the problem is that you have not travailed. He said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Some of the children, some of us were born, are nations. They are nations. Some of us are dimensions. Can we pray for another 30 seconds? Everything buried here. Oro. Yaka. Yaka. Katanaka. Yaka. Katanaka. Yaka. Katanaka. Yaka. Katanaka. In the sky. Eruru na gaga. Agagaga. Dina gaga. O maraco. Saka. Yo. Hear this. See, in the name of Jesus, you know, a woman is packaged until she begins to travail. That young lady you see that walks as if she's on the moon, wait until she begins to travail. Because the reality of a woman manifests at that hour of childbearing. Because that's the zenith of her potential. She is the only creature that has the capacity to incubate life and produce life. And so when she is at the point of birthing, her full elements are manifested. And at that point, there's no packaging. Some of you, as you begin to travel, you will discover there will be movements. You will no longer stand like an apostle. You will no longer stand like a prophet. You will no longer stand like a celebrity. The movements of the Spirit will begin to shake you because something is about to come out of you. Can you travel for another 10 seconds?
Rivers of inspiration, rivers of power, rivers of wisdom, rivers of nation, rivers of invention, and the Kamar, the Kabato, the Kayato, the Lion, the Lion.
lift your hands toward heaven. There are 25 of you now that God will exalt your horn. He said, my horn hast thou exalted, like the horn of the unicorn. You didn't come here to hear a message. You came here to be transported. You came here to be carried. I want to lay hands on these ones. Ushers, help me. There are 25 young men and women here that are about to become global sensations, international trailblazers, betters, carriers of dimensions of glory. Father, such as I have received from you, I bring to your children tonight. Everyone you have ordained for ascensions to glory, for ascensions to power, for ascensions to dimension, wherever they are standing now, on ground, on land, I release that grace. Take that power. Take that power. Take that power. Usher, bring them here quickly. It's an ordination hour. Better than Makaida. Better than God. Better than God. Better than God. Arito Parakatana. Sakaras. Sakaras. Yeriana Makabanda de Capacato. Magrondo Karate. Bring them here. I move you to your next level. I move you. I move you. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. I move you to your next level. Take that power. Take that power. Step into your next level. I move you. I move you. Step in by the Spirit. Yaro Robama Kada. Asoto. Mande Kabira Tobara Kadi. Say he maketh his angels spirits. He said, but his ministers, they are flames of fire. Those of you at the gallery, get ready. There is a fire descending on you now. He maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, flames of fire. Father, my God, Mantakos Tapakari. Barika, Dagash, Zaradinavakos, Dedegabara, Kinagasta. There are seven of you that a fire is descending upon. The mantles of revivalists, as it was in the days of the fathers. Men that carry graces like trumpets. Wherever you are standing, on the gallery, I see a fire. Let that fire rest now. Take that fire. Take that fire. Fire, Yate, Paros, Naga, Jali, Yaka, Zevakana, Maragando, Zarako, Zadiata. Set the fire.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, Kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministries.org.